teaching ministry of Pastor Jay Eberle. Get ready to be empowered through the understanding of God's Word.
I want to share, back when we were doing, and I guess we're still on it, I'm not sure if we're still on this series or not, but when we were talking about authority for, 3 weeks or whatever, maybe a couple Wednesdays in there. We got to the area of talking about authority over oppression. And I got snagged. There's so much there that, I just want to share some along the line. It's kind of a little different direction tonight, but talk about the mind some more. Because it's a big battleground of the enemy. Anybody ever noticed the enemy, works on you and to get your attention on things that really you shouldn't be thinking about? If it's not a big deal what your attention is on, why does the enemy fight you and me so much in that area? The reason is because he knows it is a big deal. And I'll tell you why it's a big deal what you or my attention is on, is because the mind is the doorway. When we talk about attention, we're talking about what we're thinking on, what our attention is on, is our mind or our thought life. The reason it's a big deal is because the mind is the doorway to the heart.
Yes, sir.
We've heard that, but it's very important that we understand that when it comes to guarding our thought life.
Yes, sir.
The Bible says there in Proverbs 4, guard your heart, doesn't it?
Yes,
guard your heart. Well, how are you going to guard the heart? The verses right before Proverbs 4, what is that? Verse 23 that says, guard your heart. The verses right before that talk about, my son, attend to my words.
Yes.
Attend to my words. Incline thine ear unto my sayings. Let them not depart from thine eyes. Keep them in the midst of thine heart. Yes. Well, that's all. Even the eyes and the ears are part of attending to it. And he said, as a result of that, he said, they'll get into the midst of your heart. People have been programmed because of different ways that they thought growing up or whatever. Their environment created ways of thinking. Teachings they sat under created ways of thinking. You know what I mean? Experiences created their ways of thinking. But that's not the way the Bible says we're to form ways of thinking. The Bible says the way we form ways of thinking is by the Word.
Amen.
We renew our minds with the Word. You understand, I'm not talking about, I like blue, or I like the outdoors, or we're not talking about that. We're talking about ways of thinking regarding the important things of life, such as, all these things the Word talks about. So, if that's so, if these different things like our environment, teachings we set under, so forth, if they formed our ways of thinking, then, that didn't get changed because we got born again. We understand these things, but we're going to get to something that'll really, really, I believe, help tonight in some of our lives, all of our lives, praise the Lord. But we want to kind of lay a foundation. That's important that we recognize that it's our mind, and that didn't get changed when we got born again. It's the inward part, the spirit man, that got changed. That man was made a new creation in Christ. And he'll rise up and try to pass things on to our mind, because he's in fellowship with God. Actually, the Holy Spirit lives in him. And the Holy Spirit will pass knowledge and things on to him. And then that will try to rise up to our minds and help us to think in line with the way God wants us to think. And if we're not careful, we'll push that back down and not reform ways of thinking in our minds. So when the Bible says old things have passed away, he's talking and all things have become new, he's not talking about in the mind. Because the Bible says for us to renew our minds.
Yes,
the Bible talks a lot about the mind and the thought life. I was surprised whenever I started really getting into the Bible. I went to church all my life, but when I started really getting into the Bible and really studying it, I was surprised and shocked at how much it talked about the mind. I guess some people, I don't know, I haven't heard too much of it, but I guess some people think, those people that talk about the mind, that's just, what's that called, New Age or something. Well, metaphysical, what do they call that, Christian Science and all of that kind of thing. Well, just because they took some truths in the Bible and twisted them doesn't mean the Bible doesn't still talk about the mind. Some of those people, those metaphysical religions and Christian Science and all that, they've gotten way off of the word regarding these things. But we're just going to stay with the Bible and what the Bible says about the mind and the thought life, because it's you and my's mind, it's our responsibility. Remember, Philippians talks about whatever's pure, whatever's lovely and just and so forth, think on these things. So we're to choose our thoughts, not just allow any old thought that comes to our mind to run free. You know, we're to take thoughts captive, the Bible says. Remember that? And cast down imaginations and things that exalt themselves against the knowledge of God. That's our responsibility. Renewing our mind is not something that God did when we got saved. That's our responsibility, because the Bible said, don't be conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind. The understood subject is you and I have to do that. Amen. And this is where the work begins. It's a work that's well worth it. Praise the Lord. God will help us. God will help us do it. It's not something he's saying, well, you're on your own on that. He'll help you. The Holy Spirit will rise up in and remind you over and over and over again. Okay, now remember what the word said. And you go, oh, yeah, that's the 797th time he's reminded me of that. But thank you, Lord. And he's good. He'll just work with us and work with us and work with us until we get it. Tell your neighbor, until you get it. Amen. I thank God for his faithfulness and his patience with me. And, because he's been patient with me, I can be patient with you. You can be patient with me. Amen. Praise the Lord. It's a work of really, if you think about it, it's a work of sanctification, learning to think right. You'll find that the more you walk with God, like for example, the other night, Friday night or whenever it was, somewhere recently, it must have been this past Friday night. There was a movie on the Outdoor Channel, I think it was, on the Alamo. You know, I forget what it was called. Maybe that was the name of it, the Alamo. And, you know, I like Westerns and, you know, something like that. And I thought, well, you know, we were just sitting there kind of watching it and so forth. And then the fighting began. And I knew how long the movie was. I knew how early in the movie they were starting the fighting. And I'm sitting there thinking, I don't want to watch blood and guts for an hour. You know what I'm talking about? Just turned it off because, I don't know, I just enjoy peace and, saying anybody that would have watched something like that, they're in sin. I'm just simply saying that for me, you know, it's not just a matter of sin or not sin. It's a matter of I just rather have peace tonight. You know what I'm talking about? Just rather have peace tonight. Plus, I had spent all week teaching the word in Bible school out there. And you know, after you get in that flow of the anointing, it's like, who wants to pull out of that, you know? So, you know, not putting condemnation on anybody. So praise the Lord. But the enemy will work overtime. And he'll work overtime to distract us, get our attention on the wrong things. And that's why we have so many people troubled in our culture and tormented it just doesn't have to be that way. You know what I mean? The more you walk with God, the more you realize it doesn't have to be that we live tormented, troubled, unsettled, vexed in our minds. And so... But what I want to talk to you some more tonight about is pick up a little bit where we were on Sunday, although it was a different flow Sunday than tonight. I want to talk about the connection between your attention and your faith. Your attention and your faith. Tell your neighbor, it's your mind and your attention. Therefore, it is your responsibility to guard it. Amen. Go over with me to Matthew. The sixth chapter to begin with. And let's look at some of the verses that we've been taught well here. Dr. Dufresne used to talk about these all the time, Matthew 6. Let's start in verse number 25. In fact, we won't take the time to just read every one of these verses, but we'll skip through here and read a few of them and notice something that Jesus says over and over again. Matthew 6:25, therefore I say unto you, take no thought for your life, what you shall eat, what you shall drink, nor yet for your body, what you shall put on. Is not the life more than meat and the body than raiment? And so he mentions that term. Notice that term he mentioned there, take no thought. Look at verse number 27. Which of you by taking thought, Underline that. Taking thought can add one cubit unto his stature. Well, it'd be great to be a couple inches taller. Maybe not everybody here could say that, but I could say that. So, but I can't do a thing about it by worrying about it. You know, that's not going to change it. Well, why do we think worrying about our finances is going to change it? It's legal in the kingdom of God just not to have a care in the world. Someone said, don't you know the trouble you're in? Oh, yeah, I'm fully aware of it, but I just decided not to. I just decided to do what Jesus said and not take the thought. Worrying about it. That'll be, you know, bringing all the troubles of your day home to your spouse and your family is going to start affecting and negatively affecting your family. You know, and amen. It just starts spreading it around. So. And then he said, and that's in verse 27, therefore take no thought, which of you by taking thought. And then verse 28, and why take ye thought for raiment? So again, he mentions that term, taking thought. Look at verse number 31. Therefore take no thought, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or wherewithal shall we be clothed? Take no thought. Then down in verse number 34, he said it again, take therefore no thought for the morrow shall take thought for the things of itself. Sufficient of the day is the evil thereof. Now that doesn't mean it's wrong to plan ahead. Because Jesus talked about what man, if he's getting ready to build a tower, doesn't plan and see if he's got enough money to do it and so forth and so on. So he's not talking about don't ever think about anything in the future. You know, don't plan for retirement or anything like that. That's not what he's talking about. He's talking about taking worried thoughts. Don't take thoughts worrying. Don't be worried. Don't take worried thoughts from worry. Isn't that right? So can you see that? Over and over again, he said, take no thought saying, take no thought saying. Well, right in the middle of that, look what he said in verse number 30. We skipped over it, but let's back up to verse 30. Therefore, if God said, so this is right when he said, take no thought for your raiment, or we'd say clothes. And let's go back to verse 28. Why take ye thought for raiment? Consider to the lilies of the field how they grow. They toil not, neither do they spin. Yet I say unto you that even Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed like one of these. So he's talking about worrying about having the money to buy clothes or buy, in the previous verses, buy food, these natural things. So then he said right after that, verse 30, wherefore, if God so clothe the grass of the field, which today is and tomorrow is cast into the oven, shall he not much more clothe you? Then notice this, O ye of little faith. So what is he telling us right in the middle of saying, taking thought? Well, he said, take no thought saying, take no thought saying, take no thought saying. He's saying, don't take worried thoughts. Worried thoughts will come to you and me, but he's saying, don't take them. You remember the illustration I've given of secretly putting marijuana in somebody's pocket and then acting like I discovered it and claiming, you know, if you were really a Christian, you wouldn't have that marijuana in your pocket. Well, that's what the enemy does. He comes and puts a thought in your mind, and then it comes over here and says, well, if you were really in faith, you wouldn't have had that thought. Well, just the thought coming does not equal you taking it. You understand? It can come without you taking it. When the thought comes to your mind, you can answer it, you know, with the scriptures, with the word of God, and say, no, that's not my thought. This is what I choose to think on. Amen. And you replace that thought, excuse me, with the word of God. Yeah. And you say that with your mouth and decide to go on thinking about that. It's your mind. You can choose your thoughts. And so what he's saying is make sure and decide which thoughts you're going to take. Don't take worried thoughts. And here's the reason why. He said, because it will reduce your faith in verse number 30 down to little. You could have had great faith. And he said, taking all these worried thoughts, what are we going to do? Where are we going to get the money? How are we going to pay the bills? You know, all those worried thoughts.
Yeah.
Hello. They're laying off down at my job, and, you know, it could be 1,000 different things. You know, I have a pain here. I guess it's cancer. Or, you know, just taking thoughts, any thought that is against God's word. He's saying taking that thought, turning it over and thinking on it, or we would say attending to it, He said, it'll, verse 30, it'll reduce your faith down to little. Because he said, if you do that, you'll be of little faith. Isn't that what he said in verse number 30? Amen. Act like I'm making some sense tonight.
Yes,
praise God. So when we take those thoughts, it reduces our faith down to little. Amen. Many people think they have, well, they go on in life, and it seems to be a chronic condition to them. That is, well, I just don't have great faith. I just don't have great faith. I just don't have that kind of faith. Other people seem to be, you know, growing in faith and strong in faith in this area or that one. How many of you know there's areas in all of our life that didn't come as easy as other areas as far as walking with God by faith?
Yes, sir.
It might be a different area for you than me, but there's always an area where it seems like it doesn't come as quickly. Well, that's not supposed to be a chronic condition for the rest of our lives. Or let's put it this way. It is not an incurable condition. You know, be able to believe God in one area, but all these other areas, I just never have been a great person of faith. And well, let me ask you a question. Would it be all right if I asked you a question? Some people go on and on like that. But the problem is not, I'll ask you a question in a minute. The problem is not necessarily, according to these verses, the problem is not necessarily little faith as much as is an undisciplined attention. They keep taking wrong thoughts. They keep, Satan offers the wrong thought, and they spend their day attending to it. No wonder it's been reduced down to little, and it's a chronic problem. It's because their attention is on the wrong things. They keep taking wrong thoughts. They keep taking wrong thoughts. They keep taking wrong thoughts. Amen. So my question, remember I said I was going to ask you a question? How important is it to you that you walk by faith? That is determined. I can tell in my life, you can tell in your life, how important walking in robust, vibrant faith is to us by how much we guard our attention. I want you to let that sink in. I'm going slow tonight. Letting it sink in. Is it true that this is the victory that overcomes the world, even our faith? Is it true that all things are possible to him that believeth? Amen. Are these things true? If thou canst believe, all things are possible. And on and on. According to our faith, it's being done unto us and so forth. If that's true, then faith ought to be huge to us. Walking by faith and growing in faith ought to be huge. If that's true, then what we attend to ought to and our attention is on ought to be big time important to us.
Amen.
Big time. Tell your neighbor, big time.
Big time.
Go over to 1 Timothy chapter number 1 here. Hallelujah. Big time. It ought to be big time important. This verse is very interesting to me in chapter 1, verse number 4. Neither give heed to fables and endless genealogies, which minister questions, rather than godly edifying, which is in faith, so do. Giving heed to means paying attention to. So he's saying, make sure and guard what you pay attention to. Because notice what he said, what you pay attention to is going to be ministered to you. I said, it says, what you pay attention to you is going to be ministered to you, whether it's coming from the enemy or from God. What you're paying attention to, or I'm paying attention to, is what I'm fellowshipping with. Certain thoughts have faith, what would you say, you know, like those sprays that kill weeds, what's those called? Weed killers, yeah, I know that we call it that. There's a term for that, though. But anyway, certain thoughts have faith killer in it. You take it, and it's going to kill your faith.
Yeah.
Just like, you know, those sprays that you spray on weeds.
Yeah. Yeah.
Kills weeds.
Yeah. Yeah.
There's thoughts that you take that contain a faith killer chemical in them. You know what I'm talking about? To use an illustration of And so people think, well, you know, I can have faith in my heart and just go on thinking the wrong things in my mind. Not possible. Because the mind is the doorway to your heart. You got to know that. You got to understand that. Like we start out in Proverbs 4. And whatever you're attending to, you're feeding into your spirit. And you cannot be robust or strong in faith in your heart and continually feeding your mind on, you know, worry, unbelief, the problem, the circumstances, what the doctor said, so forth and so on. You cannot do it. You cannot do it. You might claim you're doing it, but you are being defeated because your attention is feeding that into your spirit. And we'll see that as we go. But this verse is one of the verses that show you and I that. He's talking about neither give heed to these certain things which minister questions. In other words, we'd say doubts rather than godly edifying. In other words, what you pay attention to you will be ministered to you, whether it's from God or from the enemy. Whether it's something you consciously want or something you don't want. We might consciously not want to be in unbelief, but if that's what we're always thinking on, whether we consciously want that or not, that's what we're going to be in. We might try to get away from it, but if our mind doesn't unhook from it and divorce it, break up with it, say more, no more dates, no more, you know, we're not hanging out together anymore. You're not my best bud anymore. You're not my best friend's friend. I don't even want to see you. I don't want to, no fellowship. No, not in the middle of the night when I wake up. No fellowship. Not in the middle of the day. Not whenever my mind's blank and I'm not thinking on anything. No, never. I'm just not entertaining you anymore. Amen. I'm not feeding you. I'm not setting out a meal for you. I'm not giving you anything to drink. Nothing. Don't come to my house knocking. Don't knock on the door because I'm not doing it. You got to get like that or you'll never get away from unbelief. Amen. By attending to it, you make a connection to it. And it starts ministering to you, according to this verse. Starts ministering to you. And so what you've done is you've chosen to receive it into your heart and mind. Now somebody said, okay, well, I'm just not going to think about anything. That isn't going to build your faith either. Bible didn't say, my son, think about nothing and it'll get in your heart. No, he said, my son, attend to my words. Attend to my words. There's faith in them there words. You've heard the term, there's gold in them there hills. There's faith in them there words. There's faith in them there words. Now, the word ministered to here in the Greek means something that's offered. You know, Satan and God are both offering you something. What he's saying is what you attend to is what you receive. Amen? The enemy is holding something out to you. He's offering you depression. He's offering you oppression. He's offering you worry. He's offering you a dark cloud over your head. Amen? Heaviness. He's offering you no joy. He's offering to steal all your peace. I'll take all your peace from you. He's offering you something. Don't take it. But you can't say, I'm not going to take that, and then go on thinking his thoughts. The way we take it is by taking his thoughts. Amen. So, praise the Lord. Now, so listen to the Amplified here in 1 Timothy 1:4. This is really the reason I went over here. 1 Timothy 1:4 in the Amplified. He says, whenever we attend to the wrong things, he said, we're not to give importance or to occupy ourselves with these things. You could say with things that foster unbelief and questions. Not to give importance or be occupied with things that minister questions. So what does that mean? That means ask yourself the question, how important is faith to you? See, that's what I want to not to give importance to. There are some things that you need to see as the enemy that they are. These wrong thoughts of worry and think, you know, just attending to, you know, oppressive things and so forth. That you need to see the importance of staying away from certain things and see the importance of attending to what is going to build your faith. There's some folks that just need to cut some things out. If it was important enough for you to have a robust faith, you would cut some things out that are distracting your attention. Some things that might even be legitimate, you know, enjoyment or something like that. But if it's keeping you from getting through something and having what it takes to overcome something the enemy keeps coming with, then you might have to just cut some things out. How important is it to you? I said, how important is it to you? To many Christians, it's not important enough to pay attention to what brings them the faith that would really give them the victory. So this situation where they say, you know, I just never have had strong faith in this area. That's because of it's not important enough to you. Now, I'm not talking about baby Christians just starting out, but I'm talking about people who know what I'm preaching and teaching, and they just don't take the time to do it. I've had a couple of situations where the Lord has spoken to me at times, and I'm sure of this one thing, that if we did anonymous cards, how many people spend time in the presence of God every day just fellowshipping with the Word and so forth, I'm sure at least 20 to 30% of this congregation, maybe even more, would say none. You say, really? Yeah, really. It's not important enough to them. Well, I just don't have time. Wait. You want to compare what's on your plate to my plate?
Come on, Pastor.
It's not a time issue. If God created an extra 7 or 8 hours in your day, you would fill it with something else. Because what is not important to you? It's carnality. It is an undisciplined mind. I know it's tight, but it's right. Hallelujah. The biggest part of my faith life is getting the things I'm believing God for on the inside of me. That's what takes the most of my time. Once I get it on the inside of me, Katie, bar the door. That's an old term, not talking about Katie. I'm just talking about, it's an old term meaning watch out, we're coming through, you know. Amen. You know what I'm talking about? The where I take my time is getting something on the inside of me. Once it starts getting on the inside of me, watch out. Here it comes. Here it comes. Y'all understand what I'm talking about? Amen. Well, how do I get that on the inside of me? I hold my attention on it until I keep feeding it into my spirit, feeding it into my spirit. I'm talking about my attention on the Word that talks about it. I said my attention on the Word that talks about it. I feed it into my spirit. And until my inward man has been enlarged and I have the capacity to take it in.
All right. Come on.
Y'all still there?
Yes, sir.
Before my capacity was enlarged to take it in, it seemed huge to me. Once my spirit grew and I expanded my insides through meditating and attending on the Word, and my spirit develops that capacity to take it in, it's easy. You can tell where you are in faith by what's big to you.
Amen.
If living in a certain section of town is really big to you, you're not there yet. Amen. But if it doesn't seem like it's that big anymore, you know you've expanded on the inside to be able to do something like that. Amen. If you can pay attention to this, you can get some answers tonight. Praise the Lord. Remember I said little faith by worry and thinking on the wrong things? You're ministering smallness to yourself. You're keeping your inside small by thinking on worried thoughts. And, you know, I think about my cat sometimes. I was thinking about her today. She has such a small mentality. Her world is the size of our house. Actually, 2/3 of our house. We don't let her go in the basement. And, you know, her world consists of the bowl is there, the back porch is there, the couch is there where she rests and sleeps, and, you know, the litter box is right there, and it's all this little world. And her day consists of feed me, let me outside, and then she goes up by the shower, meow, meow, she wants to turn on the shower because she wants to get in there and lick the water off the bottom of the shower. I know she's touched, but anyway... But that's her world. That's basically all there is to her world. Other than chasing the laser dot. She does like chasing the laser dot. Yeah, that's fun. That's my entertainment right there. I can take her up the wall and down the wall, and I can. But that's her world. She has no comprehension of the rest of the city, of the of church here, all of you. She has no comprehension of the state, of anywhere in the United States. She's just a little wee old world. And that's the way people are. They develop this little world because their attention is on these little, my little this, my little that, my little need, my little job. Amen. Whenever there's opportunities, there's big possibilities that are. I guess in God's mind, we all have a little bit of a little small world. But you know what I'm talking about? We can't go beyond where our little world is. You know, like a fishbowl mentality kind of thing. Amen. And so, like I said, the biggest part of my faith life is, enlarging the capacity on the inside that I have. Amen. And so then whenever the capacity of spirit has been developed in me through attending to the word in a certain area, what happens is my spirit is able to take it in. And it's like there's a hand comes up out of my spirit. Remember the Bible said, fight the good fight of faith, lay hold on eternal life. Your faith has a hand. And when my spirit develops the capacity for something, it's like my faith hand reaches up out of my spirit and goes and pulls it right on the inside of me. And now I'm pregnant with it. Guys can get pregnant too in this area. With the word. It gets on the inside of you. And then you start getting around people who think small and criticize you for thinking bigger and having bigger things and so forth. You know, well, who do you think you are? And you look at them and you go, listen, it's available to you just as much as me. It's not me. It's not I'm something special. It's what has gotten on the inside of me. What has enlarged my thinking. And your problem, all the ones that are critical I'm talking about, their problem is you got your attention on something other than what would build your faith. God is an equal opportunity God, if you know what I'm talking about. Hallelujah. But people get their little minds on little rabbit trails of, this is the reason I can't, and, I can't because of this or that or the other, don't have education, don't have this, don't have that, don't have whatever, whenever this would give you everything. You remember that man that talked, or actually Jesus told the parable about the man who found a pearl of great price in a field, and he went and sold everything he had and bought that field. Remember that? Well, listen, if you realize the pearl of great price and what this is right here and what this would do for you, you would sell some things that are, if not sell them, you'd get them off your mind in order to give yourself to what would give you all. This will give you all. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. This is more important than any natural thing you have. Because this will give you all. Give you all you want, all you need, and everything in life that you would enjoy. Praise the Lord. But some people, they just say, well, I just haven't had great faith in that area. Well, it's an attention problem. Tell your neighbor it's tight, but it's right. Amen. By giving your attention to the right things, you could build that faith in the promises of God. There's really an endless supply of faith available to all of us. Isn't that right? But we have to do what's necessary to tap into it. So he said, neither give importance to the things which don't minister faith. That's the Amplified. I kind of paraphrased what he said it in a longer way than that. But that's basically what he said. Don't give importance to what doesn't build your faith. In other words, don't spend a lot of thought time on what doesn't build your faith. Amen. Do what you got to do in the natural, and then get your thoughts back on what builds your faith. Build your faith. Build your faith. Amen. Am I in the right room tonight? Now, Romans 4, verse 19, Abraham said, it talks about Abraham's faith. It said he was not weak in faith because he considered not. Remember that? his own body now dead. So once again, we see that considering the wrong things would have weakened him in faith. Matthew, or Jesus in Matthew, said the same thing. He just said, if you can keep thinking about the wrong things, it'll reduce your faith down to little. Amen. Weak faith doesn't even really ever get a grip on what God's made available to it. And the reason is because it's weak. You know, it's like a dog that runs up and gums a bone a couple of times and it runs off and forgets about it. Coming to church and hearing the blessings of God that are available and gumming it a few times and going off forgetting about it, it's not going to cut it. It's not going to cut it. It's not going to cut it. How important is it to you that you have faith in an area? Amen. Praise God. Now, actually, in the Proverbs 4 there, my son, attend to my words. You remember that? Incline thine ear unto my sayings. Let them not depart from thy eyes. Keep them in the midst of thy heart, for they are life unto those that find them. Life unto those that find them. You ought to look that up in the Hebrew, and it means a couple different things. One of the things it means is lay hold. Lay hold. So it's life unto those that lay hold of them. How does a man lay hold of them? The previous verses told us how. He said, my son, attend. I said, my son, attend.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. My son, attend. My son, attend to my words. That's how you lay hold of the word of God. That's how your faith develops a grip. You know what I mean? And gets it and receives it and pulls it in. Because the Bible said, my son, in 1 Timothy 6:12, fight the good fight of faith. Lay hold on eternal life. He's not talking about salvation because those people he's preaching to were already saved. He's talking about the blessings of God, the God quality of life in this life. Lay hold. How do you do that? Your spirit only develops the capacity to lay hold of something as you attend to it. Your spirit only develops the capacity to lay hold of something as you attend to it. I said the spirit man, you know, only develops that capacity by attending to it. Amen. That's a big part of fighting the good fight of faith is getting a hold of the thing. Inside. Amen. What you desire. But what a lot of folks don't seem to understand is the more attentively you consider something, the more of a reality it becomes within your spirit, and the more your heart can take it, embrace it, receive it, and take it to yourself. Oh, this is huge. This is life to me, because without learning to do this, I would not be walking where I'm walking. I'm not saying I've arrived, because I see so many things I can walk into. But my point is, I'm a lot further along than where I was. I know what brung me. Amen. And I'm going to keep dancing with the one that brung me. Amen. That's one of the principles of going to the prom. Dance with the one that brung you, right? Well, I'm going to keep dancing with what brung me where I am, because the one that brung me up to where he brung me is going to brung me some further places. I'm going with him. I know what keeps me sound in mind. I know what set me free from torment in my mind. Hallelujah. But this is, let me say it again, what folks don't seem to understand. The more attentively you and I consider something, the more of a reality it becomes within our spirit. You know that the more you think about something, the clearer it gets. We're making plans up on our land for building, and I've been wanting to bring a driveway in a different place to get away from the neighbor's shed, you know. And I kept looking at it and kept looking at it, and then I'd go home and I'd think about it. We got to go across that ravine, so, you know, and so I go back up there again, and I'll be doing something, and I'll walk over there again. I'll look, and I'll say, well, it'd be nice to go past that tree. That'd be a pretty tree by the driveway, and, yeah, I can see it right going through there. Praise God. Okay. And I turn around up to the road. I look at it again. I say, well, I don't like that, where that's going, so let's see if we move this way. And I keep looking at it, and the other day, I'm like, it all came clear. Why did it come clear? Because I kept looking. I kept thinking about it. Same thing true with God's word. Well, the word just doesn't seem real to me, Pastor. You just exposed yourself. You're not thinking about it. You're not meditating on it. You're not attending to it. The more you consider something and attend to it, the more of a reality it'll come within your own spirit. And then when it becomes real, your heart can take a hold of it and embrace it and take it to yourself. Amen? Can you see where a lot of people, they think, well, I have, you know, little faith in this area. Really, it's an undisciplined attention is what it is. Because there are remedies for a small faith. Jesus said, worrying makes it small. Guess what? Use that principle in reverse. If worrying makes it small, meditating, what is worry? It's thinking about the problem. Well, then just, it's not a matter of what you're thinking on, because you're always thinking on something all the time anyway. Just flip that around and choose to think on what the Word says.
Right. Amen.
And of course, speaking is in part of that, and that's how you, part of the way you build faith. But because my son, you know, over there in Joshua 1:8, this book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth, thou shalt meditate therein day and night. Part of meditation is muttering it to yourself. I do that in the nighttime all the time. I wake up in the middle of the night and I just start quoting verses to myself. Amen. Praise God. I usually do that until I fall back asleep. All right. So, anybody still here tonight? Many people think they have a faith problem, and really they have an uncontrolled attention problem. Their attention's in the wrong place. So what they want from God isn't being fed into their spirits, which is the mind, the doorway to their heart, you understand? So their heart doesn't have the strength to lay hold of it and take it to themselves. Amen? What are you attending to? It's not a matter of saying, okay, I won't attend to that anymore. No, give that time to the Word. I've had seasons of life where the Lord, and really when I look back at when he dealt with me about these kinds of things, I saw that there was a test ahead. I mean, in hindsight, I could see that. In hindsight, I didn't know it when the Lord said it to me. But I've had seasons of my life where the Spirit of God has said to me, and this isn't a rule or a law laying on anyone else, and I don't even practice it all the time myself, but I've had seasons where he said, tithe your 10% of your day in my word every day. That's not a law on you. That's not even a law. That's not a law on me where I do that every day. You understand? But here's the point. He realized, when I look back, I can see so myself. He realized there was something ahead. I needed the strength of spirit to hold on to the word in the middle of something. And so he got me prepared ahead of time. You and I listen to the Spirit of God. He'll have us ready for things that come. It won't be, you know, shock and awe and like, well, we weren't ready for that one. Walking in the Spirit, the Holy Ghost will always have you ready. Amen. How many of you know that, like, for example, whenever you're driving, and my wife says this about me, that I have to keep my eyes on the road. You're driving, you have to keep your eyes on the road. Isn't that right? I like the countryside. I like looking at, you know, landscapes and rolling hills. And so I'll be driving, oh, wow, you know. And do you know what happens invariably when you start looking a direction? Your car starts going that direction.
Yes, it does. Yeah.
As much as you try to not make it. I've never had the car go the other direction whenever I'm looking this direction. I've never looked this direction and gone that direction. Isn't that right? Same thing's true with spiritual things. What your attention is on, that's the direction your life starts to go. Amen. Hallelujah. How important is it to you? Some other things that might maybe were valuable to you, maybe they're not as valuable to you now. If you are in a deficit of faith, it's not God's fault. And it's not even the devil's fault. It's an attention issue. Somebody said, well, the devil, he just keeps distracting me. No, wait. No. Yeah, he's bringing things up. But see, he does that to everybody. But it doesn't work on everybody because some people don't take the bait.
Yeah.
You understand? Whenever people say, the devil just keeps bringing things up to distract me, that's because he knows it works, so he just keeps on doing it. If you will unhook your attention from all the stuff he's doing and attend to his word in the middle of it, it'll break your connection to those things, and it will totally defeat the enemy's strategies.
Yeah.
I was thinking about it today, and it's as if some people's attention is the devil's puppy dog on a leash. You know what I'm talking about? Just wherever he goes with them, that's where their mind goes. He serves up trouble in the finances, that's where their attention is. It's like he has them on their attention on a leash.
Yeah, that's good.
And he can just take them wherever wherever he wants to take them.
Yeah.
He can just take them over into trouble and worry about this, or trouble and worry about that, or strife and offense over here.
Yeah,
just, it shouldn't be that we're on a leash that the devil's leading us around. Amen. And guess whose mind it's not? It's not his. I said it's not his. Hallelujah. It's my mind. I can choose my thoughts. I can choose what I'm not going to think on, what I'm not going to attend to. And praise God. So it's really my fault if the enemy's getting my attention on all these things. I'm not saying he doesn't bring things up. He brings things up in my life like he brings things up in your life. But I just have learned over the years I don't know, maybe that's what I was going to say. It. Maybe it's not clear, but just to divorce all that stuff. Over here's yakety yak yak. Over here's yakety yak yak. Over here, this trouble came up, and over here, this person's doing this in the church. I just kind of learned to just be. I grew up in Pennsylvania, and there was Amish here too. But some of you maybe have seen it around here. They take their horse and buggies down the side of the road, you know, and those horses can get spooked by vehicles coming by, so they put those blinders on them. You ever seen that? That's the way you gotta get. Yakety yak yak over here. You just, amen. Praise the Lord. The dogs are barking, but this train keeps on rolling, you know. Praise the Lord. God has made a full measure of faith available to every one of his children, but they've got to give their attention to what brings it. Not to the problem, amen. God's faithful, amen. If you want a rich supply of faith, it comes to you from the Word through your attention into your heart. In other words, the faith that God offers doesn't come directly to your heart from God. It has to travel through the doorways of your mind into your heart. Amen. And the more you attend to the Word and meditate on it, the more your heart can embrace it. I heard a minister one time, he said, too often Christians, they take the Word and just throw it at their problem. When he said, the Word is seed, and it was not intended to be just taken from the Bible and thrown at the problem. It was intended to take it from the Bible and plant it in soil of the heart. Amen. Does that make sense? It is seed, and it was intended to meditate on it until it feeds its way into your spirit and into your thinking and into your mentality. Amen. Then we take that which is planted in our hearts and we speak faith out of our hearts to the problem. Well, Pastor, I don't have time. I got to get the problem fixed quick. Well, then you shouldn't have been wasting so much time in years past. How about let's just start getting ready for anything in the future by getting all those things off of our mind and attend to the Word to prepare ourselves for what's coming. Amen. So they're just throwing words at the problems, and they're not coming out of their spirit. They're not planted in their heart. It's not been planted there, watered there, and isn't producing faith. Really, it's supposed to be faith that you answer the devil with and resist the devil with, not just the Word. I mean, I know your faith is created by the Word, but let me look this way. It's a little like reading a recipe. You know, and the recipe says, whatever, 2 cups of tomatoes or, diced slice or whatever, tomatoes or something. And so you go over into the cabinet and you pull out tomato seed and you throw it in the recipe. Amen. I mean, you know, that's not going to work. It's not going to turn out the way it's supposed to turn out. Amen. But that's what it's like when people are, they throw the Word, they get the Word and throw it at their problem. You know, that's like taking tomato seed and throwing it into a recipe when it calls for tomatoes. Now you got to plant a tomato seed and grow tomatoes and then put the tomatoes in the recipe, and then it'll turn out the way it's supposed to turn out. Amen. Should have been planted first and then grown so that it gets the right thing into the mix. Amen. Praise the Lord. So people think it's a faith problem when really it's an attention problem. Their attention's not on the Word. The Bible says in Acts 19, the word grows in us mightily and prevails. It's important that we plant it in us and let it grow. And our attention plays a role in that, doesn't it? Amen. Well, did you get anything out of that tonight? It's not very profound, but it's very simple, and it'll change a lot of our lives by just engaging from all the enemies, yakety-yak-yak out here and all that stuff. Hallelujah. People said, I'm just so full of worry. Well, we know what their mind has been on. Amen. Listen, we've all been there, so that's not condemnation. But just take an answer for what it is. Take it as an answer. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Say this, no condemnation. I'm just going to make some adjustments because it is my answer. Amen. Amen. Some of us are just getting started in these things. Amen. If you didn't set your cell phone or something, your alarm on your cell phone to sneak up on yourself between Sunday and now, do it right now before you leave service. As soon as we're dismissed, don't get up. Just say, okay, here's my alarm tomorrow at 3 p.m. I'm going to, whatever. Amen. And when that goes off, you go, okay. Okay, since lunch, what have I been thinking on? Oh, my goodness.
Come on.
It's not that you have to think about the Bible 24/7, but all day long we're thinking thoughts that either agree with or disagree with the Bible. You understand? And listen, some things are neither agreeing or disagreeing. They're just, okay, this project, I got to solder this wire on this board here. I'm working down at the job. You know what I'm talking about? I'm not talking about that. You got a job. You got to give your boss doesn't pay you to sit around and meditate on the Word and over at the water cooler talking with your brother in Christ about what the Bible. He didn't pay you to do that. But you know what I'm talking about. Let's all stand to our feet. Hallelujah. It's my mind. I choose what I think about. Hallelujah. It's my mind. You need to say that to the devil sometime. No, my mind is not your playground. It's my mind. I choose my thoughts. I choose my thoughts. I choose my thoughts. Things come as seeds. You know, Satan brings thoughts as seeds. And so he wants to use that fertile soil of your heart to grow his crops. Don't let him use God's garden to grow the devil's crops. You only plant God's seed of the word in you. Amen.
If you would like more information about Pastor Jay Everly's ministry, please visit us on the web at soffc.org or call us at 319-366-2147, or you can write to us at Spirit of Faith Family Church, Post Office Box 8355, Cedar Rapids, Iowa, 52408. And remember, God loves you, and you're equipped to live victoriously in every area of life.